May the Lord help us to commence the service this morning by singing hymn number 486, 13 Lloyd, 172. Hymn number 486. Say, from the dungeon of the dead, our great deliverer rise, while conquest wreathes his heavenly head, and glory glads his eyes. The struggling hero strong to save, did all our miseries bear, down to the chambers of the grave, and left the burden there. Hymn number 486, 13 Lloyd, 172. Thank you. together from the most holy word of God, from the Gospel according to St. Luke. We'll read chapter 24, the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And when they had told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Therefore a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broad fish, and of an honeycomb, and he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, O do solemnize our hearts and minds now, we plead, we might rightly approach unto thee, Thou who art most holy, oh, they might have that sight by faith, and yes, it will make the poor sinner tremble, but that sight by faith of who thou art, a holy and a heart-searching God, and yes, in the sight of one, and as we stand before one, shall we not tremble because we're brought to see we're a sinner, a sinner of the deepest dye. But oh, what a mercy. What a mercy we've been brought there by the Blessed Spirit, convinced of our sin, brought to see a holy God and one under whose law we are condemned, because we find we are transgressors of it, and we find we transgress and transgress and transgress daily. Ah, yea, do we not find at times it is often our thoughts, not only our deeds or our words, but oh, how often we find our thoughts and the intents of the heart would also condemn us. All sins of thought, word and deed, sins of omission and commission. But oh, what a mercy if we're brought there and the Blessed Spirit will reveal to us one that truly did give his life a ransom, truly did suffer, bleed and die as that spotless Lamb, the Lamb of God. And it was truly in the room, place and stead of sinners, one that knew no sin, made sin, bearing the sin of many. And all might be brought by faith to see our sins laid upon thee. Ah, yes, our sins laid upon thee. And that thou didst bear the sword of divine justice in our room, place and stead. And in that bearing of the sword of divine justice in our room, place and stead, it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. And it satisfied the law and its demands, and paid our debt, and redeemed us from the hand of the enemy, and saved us from the wrath to come. Oh, but that one that the grave could not hold, and truly was raised again for our justification. Oh, how solemn it would have been had there been no resurrection, and had not Christ risen again, we would yet be in our sins. We should perish in our sins. And how solemn it would be. There would be no hope. No hope. And we should be of all men most miserable. But risen indeed. He is risen. Oh, may it please him. Oh, perhaps one or another still feel they walk in darkness. They long for the light and the liberty of the gospel. Oh, may they yet see a risen Saviour. One that truly did work. And it was an effectual work. And it was a finished work. And it truly did satisfy the law and all that it demands of that poor sinner, which was eternal death. But it paid the price. Ah, yes, it paid the price. The account was settled. And all they might see that, yes, they have a little hope in thy mercy. And if it could please thee, oh, do reveal these things to them, that they might be to the joy and rejoicing of their souls, that they may be now to say, he is risen, risen indeed. Lord, we plead them. Do remember us each then as we've gathered in thy courts this morning. And thou knowest all the desires of the heart and the soul. Lord, thou knowest, as we believe we quoted in the prayer meeting, those wishes which seem so weak. But Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. All might be this day. Ah, that encouragement to seek of. But all if it could please thee this day. One or another that has waited long. They waited long that it might be that day appointed when thou wilt speak unto them like thou didst unto those two upon the Emmaus road. Ah, yes, perhaps they've heard the gospel over many years, and yet there's that measure of unbelief and those scales before their eyes. Lord, we plead, may their heart burn within them. May it please, it might be even that where they constrain thee to abide with them. And all like it was with those two upon the Emmaus road, thou was pleased to go in with them. And break bread and blessed it, and then their eyes were opened, and how they saw clearly then a risen Saviour. He is risen indeed. Was it not to the joy and rejoicing of their soul? And so we plead to remember each one, and once again to remember one or another in their afflictions. We think, dear sister in the faith, we think of Ray here, and others also that know what afflictions and ailments are. Lord, go before and manage all. Lord, what a mercy thou art, that great physician. What a mercy when we're able to look beyond the earthly physician and see one in whose hand they are. Yes, they're but instruments in the hands of the heavenly physician. Ah, that one, when thou was here upon the earth, that raised the dead even to life, that certainly those many miracles were wrought by thee in those various instances of afflictions and ailments. Lord, nothing was too hard for thee. And so we plead, may the means be used and blessed of thee. And as we've out in our own path, even of recent times, what a mercy when thou dost give wisdom unto men to find out this or find out that. And thou hast given men wisdom to do it. And yes, and as he is enabled likewise with that wisdom given to him, he can use those resources as he's enabled and shown and led in that way by that wisdom. Ah, by mighty God, there are those resources with that which thou didst create, and he's enabled to find out this or that which alleviates afflictions and ailments and even to the healing. But Lord, we would not look upon it as man looks upon it and put it all down to fortune, luck and chance, but we would see the good hand of our God, a wise God. Ah, yes, and that one in that time of creation, thou didst provide all those resources in the earth, both above and below it, and in the earth. Ah, yes, the resources thou hast given. And yes, and we have proved, do we not, that there are those things which can alleviate, and we are thankful for it. And so we would plead to remember each one in their afflictions and illnesses and those things which often cause anxious thought. Lord, manage all for them by the way unto the end. And do remember, Lord, we plead the dear little ones found amongst us, and the rising race, those that are now gone past that age, and they're now going out into those things as they, yes, in due time they would be found in those places which thou dost appoint them to, in the labouring for the meat which perisheth. Lord, we plead for them, keep them, guard them, guide them, and have them to cast their burdens upon thee, even whilst young in years. And even the very young, Lord, we quoted in the prayer meeting, but oh, what a mercy, when thou wast here upon the earth, didst thou not say unto suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. And so we plead that thou wouldest, even one or another in their young years, in their time of need and trouble and difficulty, oh, may they have been able to call upon thee and seek thy face. Ah, may they prove in their younger years that thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Do remember the parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, grant them the help, we plead, What a dark and evil day it is. There's much to be counted. And as we look upon the day in which we live, evil is called good and good is called evil. And the law is slacked. Man does what pleases him in his own eyes, satisfying the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And oh, what abominations, what iniquity. But Lord, we plead to give them that wisdom and knowledge and understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, may they be now to seek wisdom of thee. Perhaps in a time when they know not what to say or how to speak or how to answer. And perhaps as at feeling the wrath of man. But oh, grant that enabling grace. To stand firm for the truth. Lord, we plead, but do give that grace and strength sufficient in that hour. Lord, do remember them in providences. Lord, we look back to our years when it was that with us we had the children and all the expenses and cares and one thing after another at times. But oh, we trust we proved even then the gold and silver thine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And so do remember them, we plead. Do supply every need. Supply their needs. Yes, and may they prove their God is able to supply their needs according to his riches in glory. And do remember each one in the midst of life, whether it is the housewife and mother in the home, those in their duties and workplaces and all that pertains to them. Lord, we plead for them. It is a fast moving age and things have to be done in a moment. And oh, how it concerns us at times at the speed at which everything has to be done. And it brings us to that at times we're overwhelmed and ready to feel crushed under it all. But Lord, we plead, help them. May they prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. May they be able to cast their cares and burdens upon thee. Perhaps have brought to those times and seasons when they know not what to do. Everything seems to be against them. Even though dear old Jacob said in his day, all these things are against me. And Jehoshaphat, he found a great company who was coming up against him and threatened to destroy. Neither know we what to do. But all may approve him like Jehoshaphat, but our eyes are up unto the Lord. And all with their eyes up unto thee. Yes, those extremities and the eye of faith looks up. May they prove is that one is able to help and deliver and strengthen. Yes, even as this poor one over these past months, when at times we felt so weak and weary with it all, weary with the journey, and it yes, we find at times that things seem to overwhelm, but there is one that's everlasting strength, and the eye of faith has to look up unto one. And the everlasting strength, the eternal God, our refuge. Lord, we plead then, help each one. And do remember then, each one that has perhaps they have a case or a condition that they feel, oh, no one seems to touch my case. I walk such a lonely path, no one understands it. If I were to speak of it, no one should understand. Perhaps like dear Job of old, his friends didn't understand. They thought this and thought that regarding him, which was not right. But oh, that little grain of living faith there, but he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, may they prove yet. Maybe that trial of their faith may feel to be in such a lonely path. But they're not alone. He knoweth. He knoweth all things. And those all things shall work together for good. To them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Oh, in heaven by faith to wait on. To ever look up. Maybe that day of darkness. But oh, may it please him. There might be a little light that shines forth. Perhaps there's that desire in their heart like the psalmist, Lord, lift up the light of thy counsel upon us. Yes, there will be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy counsel upon us. And so we plead, lift up the light of thy counsel upon them. Shine through the lattice of the gospel. O Lord, we plead. And do remember then thy true church and people, both here and elsewhere, we're ministered and brought low. We see, there's a falling away. We see a leavening of the lump. We see the leaven that creeps in. The spirit of the world, the ways of the world, the maxims of the world, the fashions of the world. It all begins to creep in. Almost unawares, but there it does. And it begins to leaven the lump. Lord, may we be found amongst those that ask after the old paths. All the solemnity of it as we read it in Jeremiah. And they would not. They would not. And is it not so in our day? They would not. But oh, we might be found in that narrow way. And it is a narrow way, not a broad way. Not a way which is broadened by man, but it is that narrow way which leadeth unto life. Ever keep us in that narrow way. And if we amongst those that are would like to walk in both ways, oh, bring us back. The wandering sheep, the wayward sheep. Bring back into that narrow way which leadeth unto life. And so we plead, do remember Zion. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Lord, we plead, do remember also this guilty land and nation. How we have turned thee the back and not the face. We sin against light and knowledge. Ah, we wonder where the scene will end. But oh, we know this and we trust in it. As regards thy church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There will be many assaults, there will be, but it shall not destroy. Satan cannot destroy. But oh Lord, we wonder how much in that way there will be a persecution yet. We feel there will be so. We live in a day where thy laws are disregarded, thy day is desecrated, and thy word is trodden underfoot. Man does not want thee to reign over him. And we live in a day of many false religions. We live in a day of apostasy, of secularism. All these things conspire against the true church, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank thee for it. Oh Lord, we would thank thee for that word concerning Zion. Thou hast said thou would abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor bread. Oh, may it please thee, here and elsewhere it might be so this day. Thou knowest where thy poor and needy ones are. Thou knowest those that have a living desire. Oh, we plead then. Grant a crumb that may fall from the master's table. Maybe a little sip from the well of salvation. Oh, may they see a risen Christ, a precious risen Christ that has now ascended on high and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for them with those groanings which cannot be uttered. But all that one that knows their frame and remembers they are but dust, but ever liveth. One that is able to succour them that are tempted. One that is able to uphold and keep and guard and guide. And in those times and seasons of need, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain help and grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we plead then. Might be that abundant grace bestowed upon this one and that one, according to their need this day, or without thy grace. Yes. And him writer put it like this, without thy sweet mercy I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But oh, may we prove that abundant grace, that which will sustain, uphold and keep and guide. Lord, we plead then. Help us each. Bless us each together. Do us each good. And certainly one that has felt that in their that operation, Lord. We plead for him that it might be even this day in thy courts. Not too much discomfort, but all that might be approving a comforter, a blessed comforter. And so we plead to comfort us each according to our need, and to lift up the light of thy counsel upon us. Put the new song in the mouth, that song of praise unto thee. And now we plead for thy help. Lord, thou knowest this one's need. And we know we're often brought to tremble. And we'd soon be like Jonah, we'll turn aside and go some other way. Ah, but we have to go where thou havest to go. And so we'll plead for thy help now. Grant that thou hast be pleased to pour into this empty earthen vessel, that we may pour out, and may there be a portion for seven and a portion for eight. Oh, we're unworthy of the least of thy mercies. We confess it so. Oh, we're unworthy of the least of these mercies. But we venture to plead for Jesus' sake. And so we would then plead for the pardon of every sin and all we've asked amiss. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen. May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 193 to tune St. Flavian 220. Hymn number 193. I am, says Christ, your glorious head. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. By faith in me the soul receives new life, though dead before, and he that in my name believes shall live to die no more. Hymn number 193 to the tune St. Flavian 220. seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read from in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. We'll read that well-known verse, but all may it please the Lord that it might be unto one or another. That verse which comes with power by the Blessed Spirit this day, verse 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Oh, but especially then that clause, the Lord is risen indeed. But oh, what a mercy, if it should be in that way, to one or another, appeared. The Lord hath appeared to this one or that one, some poor needy sinner. One that perhaps has known what it is to walk in darkness for many years and has longed for that light to shine. Yes, the light has shone in measure. They've been brought to feel their need, brought to see what they are, a sinner in the sight of a holy and a heart-searching God. But all that one which, yes, by faith they've been brought to look to, but yet they still feel they walk in darkness, still feel to be like Lazarus in the tomb. Perhaps not even as Lazarus when he's called forth from the tomb. You feel perhaps in that way, I'm still in that tomb. I still feel to be in that bondage. Shut up, imprisoned, bound with those grave clothes of sin and death. But perhaps one or another feels they come a little further and they still have had a measure of liberty, but no light. Yes, those grave clothes bound that body, did they not? From the head to the feet. From the head to the feet. But oh, there came that time, even with Lazarus, when the Lord commanded, loose him and let him go. But all hath appeared to Simon. Oh, may it please the Lord then to reveal himself to one or another as their risen Saviour, their Redeemer, their ransom. Yes, that one that truly did give his life, laid down his life. No man took it from him, but he freely gave it, and he gave it for sinners. And they might see it was for them. It was for them. But all this portion of the Word of God, and as we come to that time of the year, and yes, what a mercy that did take place, and it's left on record. It is left on record in Holy Writ. But until the Spirit reveals these things, perhaps it is unto many no more than an idle tale. Something which is like any other author might write this or that, and it may have an element of truth or none at all. Idle tales. Yes, the Word of God and those things concerning Christ are only spiritually discerned, and until that time we can look upon the Word of God and perhaps have give assent to it in measure, but it only goes so far. It only goes so far. And so like these, as we've read of them this morning, does it find us in our present condition? Even that one that may have known those times in the past when the Lord was pleased to lift up his light upon them and bring them into that liberty. And they were dandled upon the knees. Those times of espousal, as I look upon it now, my own self, my own path, those times can be remembered. But how often we find it is now this, days of darkness. Days of darkness and distress are a portion here below. The trial of faith, yes, on the one hand, and on the other, it doesn't take long before unbelief rises up and an adversary at our right hand to resist us, and all sorts of evil thoughts enter into the heart of man even as regards the word of God. But all those days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. And we prove this, do we not? Each one of us, of the Lord's people that have to, they have that path to walk out. There's much, many a time, when it is beclouding of the eyes, and under that cloud, they find that unbelief also is there and is manifest, and they cannot always see their title clear to mansions in the sky. They cannot always, in that faith, believe that He is risen and risen for them and for their justification. The Lord knows your path and mine. The Lord knows it all. But all there might be in this day, there might be even that rolled away from the stony, what we feel to be a stony heart, and the heart of unbelief, and that day of darkness. Ah, we cannot roll that stone away. We cannot give ourselves light or liberty. Not within the power of man, but by the power of God. And all might please the Lord then this day, to have one that, yes, had never known that felt liberty, they long for it. Or whether it is like that one that's, yes, that path which is appointed for them. And it is now that day of darkness, that day of distress. And the old adversary stirring up this thought and that thought, even concerning Christ. Ah, yes, may the Lord be pleased to draw near like He did those two. Did unto those two. Ah, what a wonderful portion that is. The Lord knew the sorrows of their heart. And no doubt the darkness upon their spirit. And He was pleased to draw near unto them. He didn't leave them in their darkness. He didn't leave them in their distress. He didn't leave them in their unbelief. Ah, yes. And He didn't leave them those thoughts which Satan stirs up. Ah, perhaps even as that is an idle tale. Because now they cannot see. They cannot see. Ah. The Lord didn't leave them there. Blessed be God. What a mercy, a comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the Lord comes where His people are, meets them in their case. And what does He do when He meets them in their case? He reveals Himself to them. Ah, He reveals Himself to them in love and mercy. Yes. And like it was with those two upon the Emmaus road. And it is by the Spirit that the Spirit once again works in our hearts and teaches us. None teacheth like the Spirit. But all the blessed Spirit, yes, that's the promise of the Comforter which Christ promised. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you before He entered into His sufferings. You read of it in John's Gospel. And you'll prove it likewise. And you'll prove likewise like these two upon the Emmaus road. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. And ah, yes, and once again, what a mercy when He expounds those things concerning Himself. Expounds them unto a poor sinner. Yes, whether it is in the first place or in that way when, as we said just now, that one that walks in darkness, it's now a tried path. He needs the Lord again to draw near and speak. And so like these two then upon the Emmaus road, there are those that we read of in the earlier part of that chapter. They likewise went to the tomb and saw it was empty. And saw it was empty. And they were much perplexed. But oh, what a mercy. Ah, to those that are in that perplexity, they see nothing but an empty tomb. Ah, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Ah, yes, those two men that stood by them in shining garments. It does not speak also there of the Spirit. We know the Lord, with those two upon the Emmaus road, he appeared unto them in that personal way. Although their eyes were withholden. But oh, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he is yet in Galilee. And then when Christ met those two upon the Emmaus road, he questioned them concerning that which they communed amongst themselves about. And they likewise told the Lord, although their eyes were withholden, they told him all that had taken place. And did he not then say unto them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And so it's in that same way as those two that are in shining garments, what they declared, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Oh, what a mercy. The Spirit being your remembrance or mine, bring into your remembrance all the words which hath spoken unto thee. Yes, we find by nature, old nature, folly can still retain. And do you find at times that burdens you? Especially when you're brought in these times of distress and days of darkness, yet find folly comes to the mind. And oh, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. And like these two then, these two that stood by them in shining garments, met those that were found at the sepulchre and found it empty. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, that is as the Lord spake unto those two? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He then expounded unto them those things concerning himself, beginning at Moses. Yes, and right through both the Old Testament and through the New, there is that which speaks of Christ which is to come. But certainly in those days of Moses, when that was the point in those days, the sacrifice and offering for sin, it had to be done. But that which was offered and made sacrifice of there all the way down through those ages until Christ came, could not atone for one sin. It was a type and shadow of that which was to come. It was a type and shadow of that which was to come. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Yes. The Word of God declares this. Without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. There needs be for a sacrifice. Abraham in his day, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He saw by faith one that was yet to come, by that one that that provision that day, the ram caught by his horns in the thicket. Yes, one that truly would offer up his only son, his only begotten son, in his room, place and stand. Yes, and why was that offering to be made? It was as that perfect sacrifice, as that acceptable sacrifice. That acceptable sacrifice which satisfied the demands of the law of God. Ought not Christ have suffered these things? Until that poor sinner is brought to see he's a sinner. These things are but as an idle tale. Cannot sometimes look back to those years when we knew not our need as a sinner. And we heard these things read and spoken of, but to us they seemed as an idle tale, because we had no need. We had no need until that light shone into our darkness. That light that shined into the darkness. And what does that light do when it shines into the darkness? It shows all what is there. All that is there in your heart by nature. That one that was conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? And it reveals to him the hidden evils of his heart. It ransacks every corner there. He comes in as a condemned sinner. He comes in as a condemned sinner. The law condemns him. He said just now, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. But like it was unto Abraham in his day, God shall provide himself a lamb. God shall provide himself a lamb. And I often think of that 53rd chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Yes, we tried to speak a little while ago concerning Noah in his day. And he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. But none heard or took heed. It fell upon deaf ears. Their ears were shut to those warnings which he gave, no doubt, concerning that wrath to come that should, that should come and destroy all the world. They took no heed. To them it was an idle tale. It had no effect upon them. Their hearts were hardened. That's how our nature, our hearts are hardened by nature. But oh, what a mercy. If by the blessed Spirit your heart has been, that hard heart, that hard marble of your heart, no, a little of that, the breaking by the blessed Spirit, when that shining takes place, no one is convinced of his sin. But until that time, we find we're like that as we read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and like it was in Noah's time. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yes. By nature, we see no beauty in Christ, because we have no need of Christ. Dead, twice dead, conceived in sin, as we said just now. And we are found amongst those, we were found amongst those. Each one is found amongst those. They despise and reject him. Despise and reject him. He is despised and rejected of men. And the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But ought not Christ to have suffered these things? But to the joy and rejoicing of a poor sinner's soul, when these things are revealed to them, made known unto them, yes, and perhaps you're not in the full enjoyment of them, but the Spirit has revealed to them, revealed them to you, and that is all your desire. Give me Christ, or else I die. Reveal these things to me. Yes, reveal these things to me. I know I've quoted it often, but it was so in oneself, in my own case. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me. It's in that personal way. It's your need as a sinner. It's your never dying soul. Your eternity. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known. Witness with the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Ah, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Yes, as a Lamb of God, made sin for his people, bore the sin of many. And you read that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I know I've said it before. You plead they might be opened up to your understanding. Like it was that Ethiopian eunuch. Ah, yes, for we read in that chapter those things concerning Christ and his sufferings. And especially this verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ah, that which your sins deserve. They deserve that eternal death. They deserve that sort of divine justice. That is your desert and that is mine by nature. Ought not Christ have suffered these things? Ah, yes. You read, as I said, that chapter. May the Lord open it up. You plead the Lord might open it up to your understanding. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. You read that concerning Christ in that judgment hall. He answered not a word. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Ah, yes, that one that came with that express purpose, if I can put it reverently in that way, to seek and to save that which was lost. And in that way of seeking and saving that which was lost, by the offering of himself, as that one, verily God, verily man, made under the law, so he could satisfy it in the room, place, and stead of his church, his chosen, his bride, made under the law, made like unto his brethren. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Ah, the things that were spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ when here upon the earth. Ah, yes, men labelled him as a wine bibber and gluttonous. Ah, yes, and many other things also. But in that judgment hall, he opened not his mouth. And when we think upon it, yes, if any other ordinary man was to stand in another one's room, place, and stead, and then it was made known unto them that the sentence of death was to be passed upon them for that other person's sins, would they not begin then to make some excuse? To try and extract themselves from that which they have proposed to do? But this one, yes, gave his life a ransom because he loved them. Loved them from with an everlasting love. Their love from all eternity, before ever the world was formed, he set his love upon a people. The whole Israel of God, a number that no man can number, yet a remnant of all mankind. And it was so in Noah's day. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and he was shut in, was he not? Almighty God shut him in that ark, a place of safety. Oh, what a mercy. If you and I should be found amongst those shut in with Christ, ought not Christ have suffered these things? Shut in with Christ, bound up in that which he hath done, through the offering of himself once and for all. He opened not his mouth. Ah, yes, And when he entered into his sufferings, oh, what were they? They were, as a hymn writer put it, they were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. Ah, yes, that bitter cup of the wrath of God, he drank it quite up. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He came to do his Father's will. Ought not Christ have suffered these things? In the council of eternity, this was wrought out. And it came to pass according to what Almighty God in that plan of salvation. It was not something that took place that had never been known of before by God, but in the council of eternity, it was that the Son should suffer, bleed and die, give his life a ransom. Ah, yes, and in that condescension it was, having taken upon himself that body and nature like unto his own. Yes, sinful man, but he was without sin. He bore their sins in his own body upon the cross at Calvary. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul. Ah, you think upon that. It's your never dying soul, your return to your sins. Ah, the soul that sinneth it shall die. But in that which Christ hath done, wrought out in the sinner's room place instead, when thou shalt make his soul. Yes, he truly was both God and man, a body and nature like unto our own body and soul, whatever other men might say. This is the wonders of that redemption and that plan of salvation, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And then this poor sinner, oh, take note of this, ought not Christ have suffered these things? Make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And then as it goes on in the next verse, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Numbered with the transgressors. He who knew no sin. Yes, when here upon the earth he was seen eating with publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, did they not, he's going to be with one that is a sinner. Blessed be God, it was so. Oh, therefore I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, bare the sin of many. But oh, what a mercy, if the Lord should by himself and the blessed Spirit, what is by the Spirit of God, we believe in a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it is the blessed Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that reveals these things concerning Christ and of God unto a poor sinner. The Lord knows your path. The Lord knows your desire. What a mercy if the Lord should draw near unto you like he did unto those two. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Oh, the Lord knew their need and their path, their sorrow. Yes, they saw an empty tomb. They did not fully understand that which the Lord spake concerning himself. You come like this, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, reveal these things to me. Concern thyself. Yes, one that is verily God, verily man. Perhaps you come to that where you've I'd be careful how I speak, but I feel there's some that by their publications can bring into much distress and bondage and darkness concerning the person of Christ. Concerning the person of Christ. Ah, yes. Man, in his wisdom, his natural wisdom, tries to delve into those things. And by carnal reason, he comes up with this or that. And perhaps it has brought you into much distress and darkness of mind, and you long that the Lord might open your eyes. You might see one that is verily God, verily man. Not just a man without a human soul, but one made like unto his brethren. He truly was. And made like unto his brethren, both body and soul. So to stand in their own place instead. I believe if it was not so, there's no hope. It's like that regarding those animals that were in that instruction in the days of old concern those animals for the sacrifice. They're not to be lacking anything. They're to be entire, whole, not part or parts missing or deformed. They had to be whole. Verily God, verily man. Yes, that one. It's your never-dying soul that truly did give his life a ransom. And in his soul, in those sufferings, he knew what it was. As we read of it in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we said just a little earlier, bow down under that sense of the wrath of God. Yes, as we said a little earlier, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done, came to do his Father's will. And when, hanging upon the accursed tree, made a curse for his people, he bore the curse and despised the shame, and is now set down upon the right hand of the Father. But all, curses every one that hangeth upon a tree, made a curse for his people. Made a curse for his people. What darkness then when hanging upon the accursed tree, bearing the sin of many, what must have been in his soul? Yes, the soul of Christ, that human soul. We cannot comprehend it. But yes, in those times of darkness when we likewise are brought to sympathize with Christ and his sufferings, when we do but taste the cup, what must there have been for Christ? We read, do we not, a darkness came over all the earth. And it was a darkness, no doubt, that had not been known before. It was that darkness in his soul. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken because of our sins. Forsaken for the sins, because of the sins of his people. They were laid upon him there. A holy and a heart-searching God could not look upon him. God the Father could not look upon him. He bore the sin, despised the shame. But blessed be God, he cried out with his dying breath, it is finished. It's a finished work. The law was satisfied in all its demands. But you read that solemn chapter in Corinthians concerning those that did not believe in the resurrection. If it was only in this life we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. If Christ did not rise,
If Christ had not risen again, we should be as all men most miserable. But all the mercy is it not? now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits. Yes, there was no resurrection. We know, we read this, do we not? Raised again. He was raised again for our justification. Well, that poor sinner that is condemned under the law and there's then no justification, he'll perish in his sins. He'll yet be in his sins, still in his sins. And that demand of the law will still be upon him. But there, one, the grave could not hold him. Blessed be God. What a mercy it was so. Conquered death, hell and the grave. Gained the victory. Gained the victory. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and so in Christ, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Oh, you read that chapter in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle, chapter 15. It speaks concerning the resurrection of Christ and those blessings that came by it. If we do not believe in the resurrection, if the resurrection had not taken place, we should be of all men most miserable. But Christ is risen. Christ is risen. That one that satisfied the law by the offering of himself and gave his life a ransom, truly laid it down, no man took it from him. He was not just a man, but the God-man. Power to take it up again. And he did. He did. The third day he rose again. No corruption was found upon his body. No corruption. Not like it was with Lazarus when they said, "Behold, he stinketh." Not so with the tomb which held Christ. No corruption. No corruption. Raised again. But all what you read at the end of that chapter 15 in the first epistle Paul to the Corinthians. Yes, concerning the resurrection. Yes, it closes that chapter. That which is through that resurrection. What a mercy. So when this corruptible, to the 53rd verse, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. He conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory. All conquered it. Many a man, and do we not so, we find we were in bondage because of fear of death. But when this is made known unto a poor sinner, one that has conquered death, perfume the grave. Raised again. Yes, and ever liveth to make intercession for his people with those groans which cannot be uttered. But that one that will come again in that time appointed and take them unto himself, that where he is, there they may be also. Risen again. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But all this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All thanks be unto God. Yes, the grave could not hold him. And I believe when Christ revealed himself unto those two upon the Emmaus road, there is that made known unto them. Ah, yes, that one that had suffered in their own place instead. Ah, gave his life a ransom, was raised again for their justification. And also is that regarding their end, the end of their days. There shall come that time, they shall likewise be raised again. Ah, not with a corruptible body anymore, for that one that stood in their own place instead bore their sins. Yes, their natural body will suffer that corruption. But in that day appointed, in that day of the resurrection, yes, they shall be raised again with a body incorruptible, like unto his own, and ever to live with him. All the wonders of it. Ah, the wonders of it. Raised again. Raised again. And so like those two upon the Emmaus Road. Oh, may it please the Lord that it might be in that, but wrought in the heart of one or another. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And to enter into his glory, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. Ah, do you feel likewise with those, the even time of my life, the days hasten, the years hasten. Ah, and perhaps you feel like we read in one of the minor prophets, the summer is ended. The harvest has ended, the summer has ended, as it were, and still I'm not saved. Oh, what a mercy. There have been the little that made known unto you by the blessed Spirit concerning Christ and the beauties of Christ. I believe that is why they constrained him. They longed to hear more. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Oh, may there be him unto one or another that time appointed, eyes are opened, and they knew him. They knew him. Ah, yes. They knew him. They saw him in all his beauty, in all his wondrousness, in his salvation. That one that truly did give his life a ransom, laid it down for his friend. And do we not read in John's Gospel this? Greater love hath no man than, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Help us to conclude by singing hymn number 751, hymn number 751, tune number 395. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. Hymn number 751, tune number 395. Thank you.
dear Lord. What a mercy may we each be brought into the enjoyment of it, to see the wondrousness of it. He is risen indeed. Ah, may we lose sight of an empty tomb. Ah, perhaps for our unbelief we see nothing but a dark, empty tomb. But oh, reveal thyself to some poor sinner this day. Risen indeed, speak the word like thou didst to those upon the Emmaus road. Speak the word to them. Ah, preach thyself unto them. Lord, we're but an instrument in thy hands, but all we plead, by the blessed Spirit, open up to their understanding the beauties of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, and the wonders of one that rose again, that truly now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. And so we plead thy blessing upon thy word. May it have free course and thou be glorified. Do take, dear one, oneself down to Braeburn now. Grant journeying mercies, we plead. And come up again at the evening hour, if it could please thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.